When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham's show at 6 tonight from Chickies, as is every Monday. Then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Landon Dickerson. So, Ike.
Yes. Jack.
It's a good sigh before you get into this.
Well,
wrong.
I was good and still am good with Joel Embiid deciding to play in the Olympics. I was good with it.
Going back to this.
Yeah. Well, the Sixers are 2-10, and they play Miami tonight.
Yeah.
And they are 5-point underdogs because Joel Embiid is doubtful with an illness.
Yeah.
So I was good with
South Beach flu.
I was good with all those things. I was good with the Olympics. I was good with the not playing in the first several games to get him ready. 100% good with it. I got it. Good with them not winning those games. But there was something about Friday night's game against Orlando that broke me. So they played a good first half. They actually looked like the Sixers. For a moment, we saw what it could look like when everybody was playing together. Embiid looked pretty good, was scoring. Paul George wasn't scoring, but looked pretty good. They're winning the game. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then we had a second half that was a complete disaster. Embiid was completely gassed, 100% gassed. And when he's gassed, it's the worst version of him. He's turning the ball over left and right. You know, they're stealing the ball from behind him. But on top of that, the rest of the team, sort of aimless, throwing the ball to the other team, low energy, no 50-50 balls. And it's just like enough already. This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for everyone who believed in Joel. It's embarrassing for everyone who believed in the team. You know, I know that Nick Nurse is in a difficult situation with a bunch of new players and the best players going in and out of the lineup, all that stuff. But for there to be no sense of urgency whatsoever and no attention to detail late in the game, that is a reflection on him. At the end of the day, that is a reflection on him. And as far as Joel, and I know I'm just repeating what Mike Lombardi said to us on Friday, dude, I can even buy you looking like crap in the first game. You haven't played an NBA game in 6 months, but I cannot buy you being gassed in the second half of a game when you missed the first 3 weeks of the season getting ready for the season. What were you doing for the last 3 weeks? And as far as tonight, he's out with an illness. I don't know what he's sick with. People get sick. They miss games. Whatever.
Well, grown men don't get sick.
Well, I don't
professional wanna, athletes don't get sick.
I don't want to say it, and it turns out he has some other thing. Whatever.
Maxie was sick last year.
But I do want to say.
I didn't buy that.
Hurts took the flu plane. Remember the flu plane?
The flu plane. I do want to say that if you had been present for the Orlando game in a meaningful way, then missing this game maybe doesn't feel like such a big deal. If you had been present for the Knicks game in a meaningful way, maybe missing tonight wouldn't be such a big deal. It's not the end of the world that they are four games out of, you know, the mid-pack of the East. Mm-hmm. What the end of the world is that I don't know how you watch any of these games and say to yourself, oh, they're getting better. At no point do I see any of this stuff. And it is a I'm just sick of defending Joel day after day after day, year after year after year after year, and think to myself, what have you been doing for the last month to not be in shape? Because, again, the first game, getting your wind back for an NBA game, I get it. But to be completely unable to play NBA basketball in the second game of the Orlando game is embarrassing. For the team to be throwing the ball to the other team and have no semblance of where, not calling out when there's a guy behind them, not calling out screens. I'm sick of seeing Nick Nurse mopey during every press conference, you know, sarcastically answering questions for the press when you are part of this too. Somebody on that team, after they lose, has to say, this is not who we are, and we can't play like this anymore. I don't need them to be jumping into the second row of the stands, but what I do need them to do in the second month of the season, when you are 2-10, 2-10, is to act like the games matter at least a little bit.
Now,
at least a little bit, because what's going to happen is they're going to wake up one day and they're going to be 6-24. And then where are we going to be? Then it's not going to be the rest of the Eastern Conference sucks. It's not going to be don't wait until everybody gets healthy. Like, if they don't show a sense of urgency about these games now, they will wake up one day and this season will be completely lost. And I don't, last thing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't think they don't have enough good players to win games. They do. The Detroit Pistons win games. You know what I mean? The Charlotte Hornets win games. There are the New Orleans Pelicans win games. There are plenty of crappy teams around the NBA that win some games. Being 2-10 is not acceptable. Looking the way they did in the second half of that game is not acceptable. The coach acting the way that he does in press conferences and not having the team prepared to play is not acceptable. And they're in danger, this is the last thing, of they think people are mad. Wake up. Like, in 2 weeks, they're not going to care.
Yeah, you better hope people stay mad. Yeah. When you're mad, that means you actually care.
The Philadelphia Eagles can be bad and have people care. Yeah. But with the other teams in town, no. And we've all seen the Flyers fell out of the public consciousness. For a decade, the Phillies fell out of the public consciousness. And I promise you, the Sixers will too. And that is the last thing they want. And I just, like, as a fan, I'm embarrassed by it.
Well, I'll tell you this. And see, I don't know if you'll ever get to this point, but I've gotten to this point where I'm just detached. I'm just detached. Like, you ask, how can they be a certain way? Well, it's coming from the best player on the team.
Yep.
Let's be honest about it. It's coming from the best player on the team. The regular season, to a point where he says he's not playing back-to-back games, he doesn't get ready for the beginning of the season, he's slow to ramp up, he's still not in shape. All those are indicators that he doesn't care about the games right now. Like, his personality and attitude says, I don't care, these games aren't important to me, so why should it be important to the rest of the guys on the team? It'll become important to those guys when it's important to him. When he's out there every night, busting his hump as the best player on the team. You don't get to cruise and relax to the second half of the season to try to get ready for the playoffs while your teammates are out there busting their ass. I'm telling you, they probably love him as a teammate. They probably love him as a person. And quite frankly, they're probably afraid, walking on eggshells, to anybody actually say anything about this. Because this starts with him. Like, that's who it starts with. I love Joel Embiid, but this starts with him. This starts with him. He put the Olympics first, which, in my opinion, jeopardized his health and whether or not he would be ready for the season. He wasn't ready for the season. There's a lot of mixed messaging and really smoke and mirrors as to what's really going on with him. Is he injured? Is he ramping up? Is he okay? This, that, and the other. Everybody's pissed off before the season starts. Sixers handled that terribly. He's not ready to go. He's going after a reporter for a story that's been made. This has the making of being a straight disaster this season. It has to make. There's no way this could turn out to be a good thing.
And
there's no way, real quick, no way this could turn out to be a good thing because it's off on the wrong foot. And I don't think that from the best player down, it's being the right example is being set. And it starts with him. I got to start with him. They're at his beckoning. They're at his they can't do anything unless he says do it. Is he playing? Is he not playing? Is he good to go? Is he not good to go? How long is he playing? Everybody, that's why Nick Nurse is pissed off. That's why he's in a bad mood. He doesn't know what's going on with his own team. And this is Joel Embiid, man. I'm sorry to say, but this is all Joel Embiid right now. This is Joel Embiid. His approach to this trickles down to the rest of these guys. And for him to not still be in shape, that's a slap in every fan's face who was told he was ramping up. He was ramping up to get ready for the season, to get in shape. Has he really? Has he really been ramping up to get in shape?
It's unacceptable. And when you start losing people like you and me,
yeah,
there's not going to be anybody left. Because this is the end of the line. These are the last people. The people defending him now, or were defending him a week ago, that we're the last. We're the last line of defense. They got to wake up. They got to, because I'm embarrassed by all of it.
Speaking of waking up, I don't plan to wake up till January.
Oh, well, I'm up now. Unfortunately, I got to watch every game.
When it comes to the
stupid
podcast.
I mean,
I see it, but I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's another loss. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you one guy who's awake. That is Ike. Nick Sirianni. Well, Ike's awake now. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nick Sirianni. We have the Nick Sirianni day after press conference, even though it's 5 days after the press conference. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Chickies gift cards for the holidays, the perfect gift that always fits and always gets used. Buy in person or online at chickiesandpeets.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Never too early to book that holiday party at Chickies and Pete's. In fact, you're not even early anymore. Now you're late. Book now for November or January. Get a party upgrade. Visit chickiesandpeets.com. The Nick Sirianni will speak in moments. The coach's press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Hey, man, I don't want y'all hanging up on me because of Nick. You know, this is an important phone.
Well, he's about to start talking, so yeah.
We'll put you on hold, not hang up.
All right. Hey, man, y'all doing karaoke at 4:30? I ain't got eight solos in me like that, you know.
11.
I can blow a little bit, you know.
Right. Easy.
Well, if you're gonna come to Philly in August for Lincoln Park, you have a chance.
Nah, see, I'm more of an R&B type of guy, you know. I'll give you a carry. I don't know. Only Lincoln Park I know is Jay-Z when he did the Encore remix, but that's all I know.
Yeah, that's all we all know.
Hey, y'all like how I let that leadoff hitter come in? I said, hey, man, go ahead.
That's a shame, Corey. We'll talk to you later, bud. All right.
Here's Nick Sirianni.
Are there some things now that you've worked with Vic Fangio for as long as you have that you've learned about him that you wouldn't have gotten to know if he wasn't your DC?
Just, again, his tireless work ethic. I think I've probably always, you know, with him being as good of a coach as he's been in this league for this long, I think I probably would have been able to guess that he works his butt off, but he's always looking for new, looking at tape, watching tape, looking for new ways to do things, better ways to do what he already does, and just to really admire his work ethic and how he goes about work every single day.
We'll go to Brooks and then Ruben.
Hey, Nick, in training camp to start, you had said you were excited about the linebacker position in particular. Just the way that Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean have played, I know in Vic Fangio it seems like this is a specialty of his, obviously. I'm wondering how much you think the emphasis of that position has dictated a bit how the defense has played this year.
Yeah, I think defense as a whole, it takes everybody. Like defensive football, football in itself is always going to take everybody. Defense, it's so critical that you're on the same page, that you're flying to the football, that you're playing with good fundamentals. And linebackers are a big part of that. And our linebackers have been, Zach and N'Kobe have played really well. But again, like I said, it takes everybody on defense. In training camp and still saying right now, excited about that room, excited about those guys, and they're having a good season. But we also know that we're only as good as our next game, and we got to put our head down and work and go do it again. But those guys have done a nice job to date.
We'll go to Ruben and then John.
Hey, Nick, you guys now have the best road record in the NFL since you started in 21. I think you moved past the Chiefs when they lost to the Bills yesterday. What goes into that? What do you attribute that to? And what do you guys do to treat those road games in a way that leads to success?
Yeah, you know, you want to be calm in situational football. And so we do a lot of things in situations, not only in the meeting room, but also also out of practice every single day. We've done that through training camp. We do that every single day in practice. And so, again, being calm in situations is critical. Being able to, on offense, being able to handle the noise and to communicate in the noise is going to be really critical. Practicing that every single time it gets annoying to hear the, you know, the crowd noise as you go, but that obviously that's a big deal. But then it's just having, I think the biggest thing out of all that is just having that mental toughness that, you know, everyone's going to be against you on the road. Now, we travel pretty well, and I've been really appreciative of the Eagles fans that show up at every, at, no matter where we are. But, you know, you still feel like the stadium's against you, and it's just an opportunity for you to unite as a team, lock arms as a team, and, you know, have that mental toughness, that dog mentality as far as understanding, you know, just play the next play, control what you can control, and unite as a team. And so those are two of our big time core values of, you know, connect and toughness. And, you know, and so we take pride in that. And I just think it speaks volumes of our players and coaches that, you know, that they handle that. And so, you know, I didn't know that stat, Rube. That's a cool stat. And we take pride in that because, again, it's just an opportunity for us to lock arms and go at it together and try to, you know, battle all game and win.
Thank you. We'll go to John and then Olivia.
Hi, Nick. You've had a history of starting well here, 9-1, 9-1, now 8-2. 1 year you've been able to sustain it. 1 year you probably didn't go as far as you would have liked. Is that something that's helped you learn from each aspect of that, because handling success can be, you know, different than handling failure.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, and then the first year too, even in 21, we started, I think, 2-5 and finished 7-2. So we've had a, you know, a couple different paths there. Every season's a little bit different, but learning from all your circumstances. Yeah. You again, it's about your mindset and trying to control what you can control. Right, because, you know, having success can be just as dangerous as having failure, as far as the scoreboard says. And so, again, it's just so important that we have that mindset that we aren't focused on anything else, not the past, not the future, just literally where we are. And we try to talk about that every single day, showing the mountain that we're going to climb and that, hey, you can't look up, you'll slip. You can't look down, you'll have a mistake, and just being locked into where you are. And so, does that mean it goes perfectly every time? No, obviously not. But that's the mindset we tried to have. I think mental toughness is just as important in this game of football as physical toughness. And so we try to pride ourselves in that. And, you know, yeah, of course you try to learn from your mistakes of the past. I think that, you know, if you're referring to last year, yeah, we learned a lot from that. And we're on the path that we are from a lot of the lessons and a lot of the adversity that we went through last year to end the season. And so, you know, and we'll have to continue to learn those lessons to put ourselves in positions to move forward. But really, at the end of the day, we're not worried about anything but this next football game that we have.
We'll go to Olivia and then Ed.
Hey, Nick, this is going to be your first, you're going to be preparing for a Rams defense without Aaron Donald. First of all, how much extra sleep do you get this week, if any? And then B, how has the Rams defensive front changed their approach to getting after the quarterback in his absence?
Yeah, you know, had the privilege to work with Chris Shula at the Chargers. Got a lot of respect for him as a football coach. So I think he's doing an outstanding job. You know, they still have really good players. Any good player keeps you up, Olivia. Any good player keeps you up. And not that I'm sad that Aaron Donald is not going to be there, but like they got really good. They got a good defensive line. Chris is doing a great job of lead, and Sean are doing a good job of leading that defense. And so, you know, we're early in our studies. You know, obviously had some more time to study him, but a lot of our time was devoted towards self-scout and then early studies onto the Rams, but we're early on with those things. But yeah, Chris has put his own spin on this defense, and you know, and they're playing well. It's a good football team. We're going to have a challenge this weekend.
We'll go to Ed and then Tim.
Yeah, hi Nick. You know, your offense continues to show this ability to hit the big play, 40 plus yards. You had another one on Thursday night, a short throw Saquon turned into. I think it was a 40-yard reception, but I think you have 14 of those, only 9 last year. What is the reason, do you think, for that increase this season?
Yeah, a lot goes into that, and it's always going to start up front with the protection. It's going to go to everyone being on the same page as far as, you know, having a hat for a hat. Then it's going to be, you know, the route discipline of, you know, if you're talking about, you're obviously talking about the pass game, people being in the right spots. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Like, hey, if you're supposed to be plus one outside the numbers, chop chopping at the top, then you got to be plus one at the numbers, chop chopping at the top. And if this guy's job is to clear out, then he's got to put his head down and run like he's going to get the football. So, and then it's Jalen getting to the right place with the football, delivering an accurate ball, and then our playmakers making plays, because there's been a variety of those, right? There's been Smitty going up and Jalen putting a perfect ball on Smitty in the back of the end zone, Smitty dragging his feet at the top. You know, and then this one's a little different, right? Jalen checks it down and Saquon getting it. So it takes everybody. That's what's so cool about football. You heard me say that a million times. Football, it takes everybody. And it's truly, you know, and then Kellen dialing it up at the specific time. And the coaches coaching it up. So all those things happen. So that's just good team football, I think, that you attribute that to. And we'll look to continue to have success on those explosive plays.
We'll go to Tim and then Martin.
Nick, what have you noticed about the dynamic between Slay and Quinion and maybe how they've been sort of beneficial for one another?
Yeah, I think I can't say enough. I think I've said this plenty of times here. I can't say enough good things about Slay and the leader that he is. Like, he's been voted a captain 3 years in a row now, and the reason being is he's just such a good leader. He's such a good teammate. And I think that, you know, that's something that you don't get to hear about Slay enough. Like, you hear about the special play that he has, but man, he's always has the best interests of his teammates at heart. A good heart. I mean, he's just a great teammate. And so I think that when you're a young player like Q and somebody that plays the same position as you and is taking you under your wing, I think that's a special deal, especially of a player of the caliber that Slay is. You know, who Q's probably been watching since he's been 10 years old, or that age Slay that much. Yeah, probably 10, 12 years old, which is crazy, right? And so, I mean, I think a lot of it goes to, you know, and Q being humble to take advice from a guy that's done it at a high level, right? And so I think the relationship is cool because it's two guys that both, you know, no ego involved. Now, trust me, when Slay and Q get out there, they think they can cover anybody, and they can cover anybody. So they have the ego in that, but, like, they're able to put that aside, which all good players do, you know, but they're able to put that aside and say, how do my, you know, Slay's saying, how do I help my young teammate get better for the good of the team? And Q's saying, hey, man, this guy with all this good knowledge is willing to help me out. How do I listen to it? So it's really cool. And it's like, I admire that, you know, first and foremost with Slay, and Q's just done a nice job of, you know, putting his head down and working. And so, yeah, I appreciate you asking that question because it gives me a chance to brag on both those guys and the type of people that they are.
We'll go to Martin and then Zach.
Hey, Nick. I know a lot has been made, particularly by us, about Saquon's touches and everything, but how valuable is it to have a guy like Kenny Gainwell? You know, he had the big three fourth quarter runs that set up the go-ahead touchdown. And kind of what is he doing differently or better this year than, you know, past years?
Yeah, first, Kenny, you know, has always taken advantage of his opportunities, and this year is no different. I think Kenny's doing the same things he's done here since the moment I've gotten here. And then he got here too, right? We came in together. There's a lot that I do where I'll go back and watch tape, you know, whether it's a situational football from, you know, 21, 22, 23, 24. Again, just you're always looking and trying to improve that way. And I remember I watched every third down that we had on our way to Brazil. I watched every third down that we had here in the past 3 years. Long trip, nothing to do. Someone gave me a couple shows to watch, and I don't think I just wanted to watch tape instead. Anyway, Kenny Gainwell was all over that tape, making plays all over that tape. To answer your question, Mark, I don't think he's doing anything different. I think he's just taking advantage of his opportunities, and because he's always done that. You know, he's always been the second back or the third back. In 21, there was a game that he was down, I remember, that he wasn't active for. And he was like, that ain't happened to me again. And it hasn't. And, like, he's so reliable of a football player. We've had faith in Kenny. Again, not blind faith. We've had faith because of the way he's produced here since, you know, very early on. And he continues to be that guy that we can have faith in, you know. And he's contributing on special teams and taking a bigger role on that. He's tough. He's dependable. Great teammate. Yes, the guys on this team, what they think about Kenny Gainwell, I think everyone will say the same thing. So, and there's a reason, you know, he's been on this team for 4 years and have made some very significant plays. It's because we love him. We think he's a great teammate. We think he's a great football player. And that, you know, as you guys ask me these questions, and I'm talking about this guy and that guy, and that's why this team is continuing to gel together, is because of the guys that we have on this team, the emphasis we put on team, but most importantly, the guys that we have on this team coming together, you know, because these guys make it, you know, again, there's just so many good teammates. A tribute to Howie and his staff, and as Howie and I talk, you know, going into each draft, like, we talk about, you know, how important it is that these guys love football. You know, these guys have high character and all these different things when we talk about players.
We'll go to Zach and then Bob.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. I know you've discussed this in some other settings, but I wanted to ask you here, when Saquon brings the ball to the 2 or the 1 yard line, are you ever compelled to just let him finish the job? And have you had to have that conversation with whether it's Saquon, DeAndre Swift, Miles Sanders in the past?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, Zach. I think, yes, you are always compelled to do, you know, to you always think about that. I think one thing we think about a lot in the red zone, without getting too much into giving out too much information, Zach, because I want to answer your question and be respectful of your question. Like, a quarterback sneak, it's tough to lose yardage there, right? So when you come out and the worst thing that you can do in red zone football is move backwards, right? You know, that's one of the worst things that can happen there and put you behind the sticks. You always want to stay ahead of the sticks because things get harder and tighter down there as you move down in there. So, you know, we've had a lot of success with the quarterback sneak. Jalen scored a lot of touchdowns. And so there are times where, yeah, again, I want to be careful how I'm answering this, but I, again, want to answer your question. But I think that's probably the best way I can say that. You know, Saquon's done a great job of getting – how many touchdowns does he have this year? I actually don't know.
I think he has 8 overall.
And Jalen and rushing?
I had to – you stumped me there. I got to look that one.
Sorry. Well, you know, and it's not – you know, he's getting us down there, yes. And he's got 8 touchdowns and excited for him on that. And he's playing at a high, high level. And so – but I think Saquon's a great teammate. And, you know – yeah, good question.
Have you spoken to him, DeAndre and Miles, about that particular sequence?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we always talk about that. And so we talk about everything that, you know, and again, like I said, we've had some incredible guys here that are great teammates that always want to do what's best for the team.
We'll go to Bob and then Bo.
Jalen is 11. You had a bunch of young guys on defense, and they've obviously – played a major role in the defense's success. But they're going to start going into territory now where you're playing more games than they ever have in their lives. And then you got, on top of that, you had Jalen, I think, play every defensive snap. Jalen Carter play every defense snap the other night. How big a concern is that, and how do you approach that, making sure that they're ready for the long haul of an NFL season?
Yeah, obviously, that's always on our mind. How do we keep these guys as fresh as possible? And, you know, especially guys that haven't played, you know, this long of a season, because it's a marathon. I think the best way to get better at football is playing football, right? And so the practice is critical, right? Us practicing hard on Wednesday, Thursday, you know, obviously take it a little bit lighter on Friday, is critical to help us continue to get better with our fundamentals, like of blocking and block destruction and tackling and getting and taking care of the football and taking the football away. And so you intend to get better, but there's a fine line in the sense of, hey, we got to keep getting better through practice and playing games, and also keeping guys fresh through the long haul. So everybody's a little bit different depending on what they're going through, what their history's been. Everyone has an individualized plan. I won't obviously get into everybody's individualized plan, Bob, with you, but everybody's thought of individually, and to make sure that those things are taken care of again. So if they have to do extra fundamentals, then we do extra fundamentals. If they have to have a little extra or less practice time because what they're dealing with something, or they have a big load the game before, then we handle that as well. But you know, a lot of science goes into that. People that help me with that are really appreciated. Our strength staff, our doctors, our trainers. But we got to continue to get better at football, and to do that, you got to play, you got to practice. But good question. Again, all that is thought through by us and the rest of the staff that works in this building, not just us as coaches.
Thank you. We'll go to Bo and then Jeff.
Hey, Nick, I want to ask you about the three oldest guys on the roster. So Slay, BG, and Lane. I know that they have been here with you, but when you are entering the year trying to reestablish, reset what your culture is, what you guys are about, how important are those three to you in carrying forth that culture?
Yeah, huge. And I think I've said this plenty of times. When I walked in as a first-year head coach, like, what other first-year head coach has four offensive and defensive linemen that have played 9, 10-plus years? Like, I don't think there's a lot of first-year coaches that have that I had with Jason and Fletch and Lane and BG. And so I know you mentioned Slade, too. And so it's huge. Like, it was huge day one, year one, and it's huge day one, year four, and it's huge day whatever we are right now, 157, day four, right? And so these guys are great leaders. You heard me kind of gush about Slay already, and what makes him special. Lane, man, you know, Lane's awesome, just as an awesome player, obviously, as you guys know, but I just love how he pumps up the scout team and lets the scout team know how much better they're making him and preparing him to play each week, because he knows how important that is. So, you know, Lane's a great teammate in that sense, and you guys have been around BG. There's nobody like him that brings that type of energy every single day that he brings. You know, and it's such positive energy. Like, and so those three guys, there's a reason there's a C on the chest, that they have a C on their chest. They lead every day. They work every day. They're the type of players that they are. And our team and our guys, our players, our coaches, our building is lucky to have those three type of leaders. I could go on and on about that, about these guys. You know, they really do a great job of, you know, first leading by example and then leading the rest of the guys.
Is it actually day 157?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
We'll go to Jeff and then finish with Chris.
Nick, do you feel better or worse about your team after watching Sunday's games?
Yeah, you know, I actually watched a little bit. I was kind of on and off as doing some dad stuff and doing some things too as, you know, for our self-scout. I try not to get too wrapped up into that. You try to learn from the things that you do watch. I'll have a big morning tomorrow watching all the situations across the league tomorrow morning with a couple guys. And so I could probably have a better answer then. But, you know, a couple things that we learned from as we watched it live yesterday. But like I said, I was in and out on that. So it was good for us, Jeff, to relax, to get some self-scout stuff down, to get some early starts on the Rams. But, you know, with this long, having our bye early, and then, you know, really appreciate the way the season has worked out, because we had the bye early, have your mini bye now, you know, we got another 7 games coming up, right? And so it was important for our guys to rest as well, and some guys get away from it. Some guys are still intertwined in it. I guess I was kind of a little bit of both, you know, doing some work on the side and then doing some dad stuff. We had some good catches, you know, had a catch a couple times. I think that's how you say it here, right? Had a catch. We played catch. We played catch, and got better at football a little bit over at the Sirianni household.
We'll finish with Chris here.
Afternoon, Nick. We've seen what Jalen Carter's done on the field. Where has he improved off the field from last season, and what impact has he had on some of his teammates or his intangibles overall?
Yeah, good question, Chris. To play every play that he played, I think it shows you how good a shape he's in, and how that's cardio, that's physical, that's so many different things. Like, that's eating the right things, the nutrition. And so, again, like, it wasn't like 66 sloppy pit plays, right? He made an impact on that game. You guys saw it. And he hustled every single play. I mean, you have to be in phenomenal shape to be able to do that. So I think as far as off the field, you really notice the time that he's put into the weight room, put into his body, and it's really showing up on Sundays.
There is Nick Sirianni. There wasn't even a game yesterday, and we let off the press conference with, what do you know about Vic Fangio? It's great. 215 is a WIP afternoon show. It's Vic with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to Corey, who has been patiently waiting, right after I tell you about how to solve your problem with your windows. Now, Ike, I warned everyone that the winter was coming, it's going to be cold, and here it is. Well, it's not quite freezing yet, but it's cold in the morning. You don't want to go through another winter spending a bunch of money on your heating, whether it's your electric or your gas. You don't want to be sitting on the couch wrapped in hoodies and blankets like me. If you need to replace your drafty old windows and doors, you got to call Gaida Door and Window. They are celebrating the holidays right now with their big end-of-year sales event, so you get 40% off every window you buy. That is 40% off every single window. And they're not going to leave your doors, without that discount either. 40% off any door, entry doors, patio doors, garage doors, storm doors. And here's a great thing. You got the holidays right around the corner. You're going to spend a bunch of money on presents. So to start your project with Gaida, you can do it with no money down and no interest for up to 12 months. If you need new windows and doors, which you probably do, you got to go Gaida right now. Take advantage of it before this sale ends. All prior sales are excluded. So call 877-GO-GAIDA. They'll give you all the details. They'll get you a free in-home estimate. This deal ends December 31st, or go to GoGaida.com. That's Go, G-U-I-D-A. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP. What's up, Corey?
Get a double dose of C from C Bus, man. Gotta feed souls out there today. Hey, but look, great show. Y'all know y'all doing y'all thing as always.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
But this is what I would like to say. Like, you came on kind of aggressive early. The leadoff caller, he hung up. I ain't never heard nobody hung up on Ike, so Ike had to make him mad.
He's been working with me too long.
But on this situation right here, I'm a side with Spike. I'm going to tell you why. I want the ball in my quarterback's hands with the game on the line. See, because a lot of people going to sit up here and say, like, oh, I don't know, I don't trust Jalen. Like, Spike said something to me on Friday that resonated with me. Like, when people say something, I think about it. He said, if Jalen would have made throws earlier in the game, he wouldn't have had to do all that at the end to win the game. That's what he said, right? But that's what makes the moment fight. If McNabb would have completed passes earlier, we wouldn't have needed 4th-and-26. If Jordan would have made shots earlier in the game, we wouldn't have needed him to hold the post like he did at the end, or do the push-off or what the push-off versus Jack, whatever, or Cleveland Cavalry, whatever you want to call the push-off, whatever. We wouldn't have to pass stuff like that. And that's what makes the moment. And, like, with my quarterback, with the game on the line, I want my coach to be aggressive with the ball in his hands because, see, y'all three up there, y'all not believers. Y'all don't want to believe, but guess what? I'm going to tell you what y'all about to do. Y'all might not be believers right now, but y'all going to be witnesses at the end because y'all going to see what happens. Continue to do what we're doing. Jalen Hurts going to continue to be better. And the destination is, we taking everybody to Pound Town in New Orleans. Y'all nice fight riding the driver in those bus. And that's the winning formula. Just keep doing what we're doing. Because Josh Allen, that's cute. He did all that. But, that's the regular season. He's still 0-4 versus Mahomes in the postseason. We got to see what you do there. Like, that's, you did that before, though. We got to see what you do when the game on the line in the postseason.
What happens when Josh Allen needs to do something like face Baker Mayfield in the playoffs, right?
See, there you go. Josh Allen.
Or Josh Johnson.
What's funny is that Josh Allen has lost games like that in the playoffs.
Yeah, sure.
Remember when Josh Allen had the Houston Texans on the road? He was up big, and he threw it twice, two interceptions in the fourth quarter. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. He tried to lateral a pass, too,
yeah,
or something.
Y'all remember that.
His first year.
I don't care. Jalen took it to the Super Bowl, his second year? Okay.
His third year.
Here's my thing.
Jack, let's get it right. And it was his second year, not his first.
It was his third year.
I think we're talking about Josh Allen.
Oh, Josh Allen. Okay.
And here's the other thing I would say. When you got a defense that we have, then I would go ahead. Buffalo is also taking into consideration their defense going up against Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. And we got a deep we got, that's what I'm saying.
So I got a defense like that. I kick the field goal, then it's a lot harder because you got to realize, here's the thing. If you don't get that fourth down, now you can lose with the field goal versus a touchdown. If you don't pick that up on fourth down, you're only up by two. Now you can go down and lose by a field goal.
But if you do pick up the fourth down, you win the game.
But look at the situation.
Done.
Like, early in the game, maybe said, I don't know if I trust Dylan to make the play. It was 3rd and 7, and you saw him reach the ball out like Jordan. You saw him reach the ball like, hey, I got to get this, or I'm going to get these dudes the ball back.
Yeah.
See, when you need him to make a play in the game, remember how he shook the boy versus the Saints in his first year, he made him fall? That was on 3rd and 7. When he needs to do something, he's going to do
all
it.
All right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, look, just as long as your guy doesn't stop – wakes up in the first half on at some point. Now Corey's gone?
That's okay.
Corey's not a hang-upper, are
you? Nah, that was...
Quick question about something that Sirianni said. I know...
what is it?
I was actually listening.
Yeah.
So somebody asked him about the idea of giving the ball to Saquon at the goal line rather than tush-pushing it.
Yeah.
And his response was, the worst thing that can happen in the red zone is losing yardage. And you don't lose yardage with a quarterback sneak. So in their minds, it is a lower risk play to sneak it or tush push it rather than give it to Saquon because there's no chance of you losing yardage
sure.
if you tush push
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, what do you –
I still don't care. I don't care. Hey, we got the best offensive line in football. My worry isn't about losing yardage at the one-yard line. That isn't my concern. Now, if you get the third down and you need to do it, sure.
Okay.
But I'm going to have the confidence – in my offensive line to get me a yard. You can't boast about your line and confidence and this and the other on one hand, and then on the other hand talk about losing yardage, trying to get 1 yard with Saquon Barkley.
It's just like you guys are all risk averse, but then when he tells you he's doing this because the other way is too risky, then you don't want to do it.
No, I just want Saquon to have more rushing touchdowns. That's what it boils down to. Like, I know I'm going to get a touchdown, whether it's Saquon or Jalen. My point is, give the ball to Saquon. If we get to 3rd and 1 and you haven't gotten a yard, okay, then tush push it. You got 2 more. But, hell, get a ball to the running back at the 1 yard line. Why are we tush pushing it on first down?
Do you need to put the quarterback in harm's way?
I don't even care about that. I'm telling you what exactly. Hey, I want the damn running backs to score the touchdown. I want Saquon to score the touchdowns.
You know who that's got to come
from? Like the tush push for Jalen does that does nothing.
Except score points, I guess.
But to me, you're going to score points.
Anyway.
You're going to score them anyway.
My point is, I'm saying
about his stats and his status. The whole rushing touchdowns, we know 2/3 of them or 3/4 of them are tush pushes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're all tush-push touchdowns.
He could end his career as long as he stays healthy, being the all-time touchdown record guy.
With a bunch of touch pushes.
I was 100% on your side. It was the first time that somebody had said something that made me think about it, at least think about the other side. I was 100% on your side until I heard Sirianni say that. It just made me think about it.
We know Jalen's going to score it on a touch push. That's not the question about whether or not we're scoring.
Well, for me, it's not.
It's about who's scoring. I can't make it any more simpler than that. It's not about it's not if we're going to score. It's like who's scoring.
Coming up next, we'll ask Donovan next. So, does it have anything to do with
Lamar Jackson is not tush pushing his way anywhere?
Does it just real quick, honest, giving everybody the lie detector? Does it have anything to do with Saquon Barkley Offensive Player of the Year bets?
Of course. It has everything to do with everything. The MVP and everything. Of course it does.
Fair enough.
I'm not hiding it. Of course it does. But I've never liked the tush push from the day they did it. Like, we did these discussions years ago, and I was on the wrong side.
I didn't have to do it.
So the whole tush push thing, get a damn ball to Saquon Barkley.
All right. We have two things very important coming up. Donovan McNabb.
Has everything to do with bets, MVP, the Offensive Player of the Year? Yes, yes, and yes.
Donovan McNabb joins us next at 4 o'clock. And then at 4:30, your chance to win Linkin Park tickets. Linkin Park coming back to the Wells Fargo Center.
You know who I can't win MVP with? Jalen.
That's a good point.
Man, they're not giving him extra votes for being getting tush pushed in 15 times out of the year.
Especially with Jack and I reminding everyone that those touchdowns are asterisks.
Yeah. Oh, he has 15 rushing touchdowns. No, he doesn't.
All right. Donovan next. Then Linkin Park tickets at 4:30. Linkin Park coming back to the Wells Fargo Center August 16th. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon. However, we will have your chance to win them here. All you're going to have to do is sing for the tickets.
Sing!
So we're going to give you a Linkin Park clip. All you have to do is sing the next line. One line. Very famous song. So that is coming up at 4:30.
Name that tune?
This is... You'll know these songs.
Okay.
You know all these songs. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.